There are a couple of play openings this weekend. One of them we covered on Wednesday with Civics Playwrights Forum Festival, but the other is Ignite Community Theater doing the last of its plays for the season, and that is the play Is He Dead? Based on who else but Mark Twain, with some translation. And so we're going to find out about that play. We're going to meet some of the utterly absurd characters in the play and a few other things. It opens this weekend at Ignite Community Theater and runs through the 24th. Jerry Eppinghaus, you drew the short straw to direct this.
I did.
Talk about that. Did you know about the play, and were you really aiming for the sheer fun of Mark Twain on this?
No, actually, when we had the director's meeting and they assigned the plays, this was the last one I thought I would get. I figured Mark Twain, that'll probably go to somebody that they know, they know who's directed before. And when they handed it to me, I kind of did a big gulp and went, okay. But, you know, after reading it several times and then doing some research on Mark Twain, especially about his humor, because I wanted this play to be reflective of Mark Twain's humor. And I found that Mark Twain wants his humor to be serious. And the more serious you play it, the funnier it is. Mm-hmm. And in a pure farce, that's what we wanted. I told the cast after I cast them, I said, this is not a slapstick. This is a serious comedy, which is kind of a oxymoron, but it really turned out well. And as we've been doing rehearsals, we're all laughing all the time, and it's been 7 weeks so far.
Mm-hmm. Before we get into it, talk a little about the evolution of Mark Twain into a playwright, into this play.
Well, during the 1890s, Mark Twain suffered some financial losses, so he moved to Europe. And he was very depressed. So one of the things he did when he started coming out of his depression was write a three-act play. And he was going to come back strong in 1890s and he was going to open in London and New York at the same time. Unfortunately, due to bad luck, bad timing, and whatever was going on in Europe at that time, they failed. And so he just put it away. And it wasn't even heard about until 2002, when a professor from Stanford University discovered it and then turned it over to David Ives, and he rewrote it because it was a three-act, three-and-a-half-hour play at that time with 48 characters. So it was pared down to play in modern times with a two-act, two-hour play, and we're only running 12 actors playing multiple roles.
Yeah, so that's plenty. But and the basic Is He Dead premise, it's a mistaken identity. Right?
Well,
that's not quite the right way to say it, is it?
It is. It's one of those. It's an age-old story. I think that in order to become famous, they kill off the painter because painters who are dead are worth more. And so his friends, his students in the play, decide to come up with a way to do that, and they didn't want to kill him off, and they still wanted him to be a part of the what was going on during the show, so they had him come back as his twin sister, Daisy to You. And it from there, when Daisy to You appears, that's when the laughter becomes infectious, and just the situations that Daisy is put in as a femininely ignorant person is just hilarious. I laugh to this day. We had rehearsal last night, and I was giggling like I never heard it before.
Well, does the play have the painter before he comes back in the play too?
Yes, it opens with him coming in.
Okay, well, let's meet him in both contexts. Dan Griffith, move over to the microphone here. And Jean-François Millet, the French painter who wants to make a little more money by dying. Mm-hmm. Defend yourself. What kind of guy are you that you're going to do that?
I'm a guy who really cares about the people that are around me, my students, my friends, my landlords who will be joining me in this bit we're going to do from the play. They mean a lot to me, and it really bothers me that I can't support them. I can't sell anything. I can't get out of debt. So it's where I need to find my footing. And against my better wishes, I let my students talk me into this whole scheme, which gets so involved. But it's a, I think Jean-Francois's character comes out through this whole process, and in the end, he becomes a stronger person, which is great.
Great, and then after the transformation, you're the widow Tiu,
mm-hmm.
And so do you use a different voice between Mie and Tiu, or do you pretty much use the
same? Certainly, I do. It's just that I have to talk up here somewhere. It just has to be this way.
Yeah. so you've probably been having a great time.
Oh man, it's been a challenge.
It's hard work, isn't it?
It is hard work to. Lower register up and back down, and sure. And of course through this whole process of while I'm the widow to you, periodically just my student my friends come in and I'm back down into Mie, even though I'm not dressed that way.
Yeah.
So I'm up and down. So it's been a challenge, a lot of work, but it's kind of found its home and it's about right there now. So.
Okay, the wonderful mistaken identity there, Dan mm-hmm. Griffith. Then the two madames, who I gather are the landladies, Lurika Kugel. Talk about yourself.
I play Madame Coron. She is the younger of the two sisters, and they are very trusting and a little simple-minded at times. So the story gets a little carried away, and they just go along with the flow, and we're having a wonderful time being sisters and feeding off of each other.
And Mary Horn is Madame Bathilde. Do you add anything to that?
Oh, I think that about says it. We... In the scene we're going to do, you'll see that we're getting a little suspicious of some of the things that Daisy to you is saying.
And so let's find out how we're going to go. So this is Daisy to you, who I think is the first voice we'll hear in this, and then we'll hear the Madame Caron and Madame Bathilde in conversation.
Just to set this up, just so you know,
please.
This is the first scene where Daisy to you is actually acting as Daisy to you. I've never had to do this before, and they're my test subject, basically.
Okay.
So it's like I'm kind of a little bit nuts trying to figure this out.
Here we go.
Have you had any children?
Slathers.
Slathers? She talks just as a rabbit might.
7 in 2 years.
7?
Oh, 7?
7 milk.
Oui, merci.
Oh, some here, some in the spring, some in the fall, others here and there, according to the weather. Oh, quite a liter.
By another Irishman?
Oh, by a whole colony of them.
Oh, seeing her mind is tortured.
I think she's been touched all along.
Did all your children live?
Oh, alas, none of them. All my 9 darlings.
9, dear?
You said 7.
I speak of another vintage.
What a singular name for it.
Were they...
boys and girls. Some of them, we.
Some of them? We aren't they all?
Many thought so.
What did you think?
At this late date, I couldn't be certain. Still, I believe there was considerable variety. I should ask my brother. Oh, except he's gone away to die, hasn't he?
You and your brother?
Are you close?
Oh, closer than a congressman and a barrel of pork. Oh, but dearly as we love each other, there is a coolness between us. He never got over it that I didn't name all the children after him. Oh, I did name 11 of them for him. Then I quit. I said, it's no use. Oh, Francois has an unappeasable appetite in that way. Oh, he's impossible, impossible.
I'll drown that Chicago yet.
Her mind is wandering again.
Wandering? It is practically abroad.
It's not safe for her to be alone.
Is it safe to be alone with her?
Madame Touillou, would you like to sleep with us tonight?
There we go. The very opening Test of Wills here, and when we went from 7 to 9 to 11 children, among among other things going on. So that is the premise that that's the first part of the premise that the painter François Millet has become the widow to you, but now things are going to get trickier for you, aren't they? Because you're going to find reasons to want to return to your former life.
Yes.
Describe how that's going to happen.
Well, okay. So at least two men start to fall in love with me, and so I have to figure out how to negotiate that and not lose myself. Yeah. So. And so constantly it's a challenge. And then as the idea is that I am going to get sick for a while and I'm going to get sicker. And after 3 months, I will die so that my prices will skyrocket. Well, of course, when that happens, then everybody is coming in and it just becomes crazy.
But then, don't you fall in love with somebody?
Oh yes, my love interest is Marie, and so she's very confused because she sees so much of François in Madame Tailleul, and so she's confused. Yeah. So, but finally, at the end of the play. We finally get reconciled, yeah. So it's all good.
Yeah. And so let's bring Jerry Eppinghaus, the director, back into here. I assume that, not only just the sheer fun of what we heard, but isn't the brilliance of Twain how he does the little things, just all of the details?
The subtleties of Mark Twain's humor was amazing. When I read the script, when I first read it, I put it down, I went, oh, that wasn't funny at all. And then I read it again, and I went, oh, that's a funny part. And then I read it again, and then I read it again. And the more I read it, the more I understood what Mark Twain's humor was really about. It's subtle, but right in your face. I mean, the things that go on during the show are just right there. The line that he said about closer than a congressman and a barrel of pork, that was very true in that day. And appears to be today. So there, you know, just the whole thing that Mark Twain's humor brought out through this play, we can relate through today. And I've always said that there's nothing better than laughing, and this play should leave them laughing all the way to the end.
And the easiest cliche of a question about any theater, but talk exactly how Mark Twain, which he always did, is talking about the human condition, and a great satirist of the human condition.
He was. When you think about the situations that were going on, and this play takes place in 1846 in France, so there were the normal political things going on, and he wanted to make sure that he addressed the subtleties of what was going on in France, the issues of politics, and for him to do one of the reasons that the play didn't really succeed, especially in France, because he made fun of a very famous painter at the time. Jean-François Millet was a very famous artist in the 1850s, and all of a sudden he puts him into a cross-dressing play, which wasn't really accepted as funny. But by our standards, it's hilarious. Yeah. So I enjoy working with this cast and bringing out the subtleties of Mark Twain's humor through serious comedy.
Yeah, and for any of the three of you actors who are here, what do you want to say anything more about the discovery of Mark Twain, or any great lines or any great thoughts that he's had?
This is Lurica. As Jerry said earlier, it's not a slapstick comedy. Yeah. There is a lot of physical action that makes it funny, but it's mostly the lines and the delivery of the lines and in the interaction between the characters that make it just super funny.
Yeah, and Dan?
Oh yeah, I found it very interesting. Knowing that the play was originally written in 1898, to read through the play and to start to get a feel for it, to realize how contemporary this play really is. I was in awe of Twain being able to have that kind of grasp of the theatrical humor that would play 100 years later. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just amazing.
And whether any of you would answer this, in the rewrite of the play and the condensing it and the changing it, are most of the words still Mark Twain's words?
Well, the author, David Ives, said in the script that he wanted to stay as close as he could. He had to change some of the things, although he didn't say exactly what he changed. You could get the manuscript, the original three-act, through on the internet or through the library system. But what he wanted to do was make it more probably understandable in today's language than it was in 1890s. But what he said in the script was he wanted to stay true to Mark Twain's overall message of this play and the humor of it. So he didn't. There's one scene where one of the students has a little patch on his backside, and is yellow. And the scene is that he had to. They say, "Well, you look like a bumblebee. I need to paint that."
Lightning.
A lightning bug. And so he kept that exact same wording, and I couldn't tell the difference between that wording and then what David Ives did in order to change it. So I feel real comfortable what we're reading and what these guys are performing truly is what Mark Twain wrote.
Yeah. This is the play, Is He Dead? Ignite Community Theater, which is 10814 East Broadway, a converted church, a great, great space for theater. It opens this Friday and Saturday at 7:30, Sunday at 2, and then the following 2 weekends, so it closes on the 24th. And I gather everybody's having a fine time doing this.
Oh, yeah.
Great. Absolutely.
Yeah. And we got a great cast.
Yeah. Well, thank you all for coming in. What a lot of fun.
Thank you.
We've spent time with Mary Horn, Ulrika Kugel, Dan Griffith, and the director, Jerry Uppinghouse.